You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
No Jim Moore this week. Michael Bump is sitting in with us. Good to have him here. The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. We're expecting to hear from Dragons wide receiver Keenan Reynolds, former Seahawks wide receiver. He's going to join us. Had a big day against the Vipers on Saturday. First win in the history of that franchise at home. So that was pretty cool. And they got another home game coming up this weekend as well. Bump, you talked about you had 32 doors slammed in your face at the NFL level and then 8 other doors. If you were still playing, would these be doors you'd be knocking on too? How appealing would the XFL be to you?
So appealing, especially because I'd be around 24, 25 years old. Still got a lot of football left in me. And just a second life. And that's kind of what this league has been missing. In the NBA, you got the G League now. It used to be the D League. NHL hockey, to have all these other leagues. There's the tips playing in a development league. So baseball, you got the farm system. So, you know, it's nice for guys to get an opportunity to get back. And even if they don't get back, they can still make an okay living playing football. I think these guys get around 200,000 bucks a year. Quarterbacks are getting around 500,000.
Are they getting that much?
Yeah. QBs are getting 500,000. I guess the top ones are getting 500,000. The players are a little less than that. But it's a chance to make money, play football, and hopefully get a call up.
Yeah, and just reps. And that's one thing with football. There's not a lot you can do to prepare for it. And we talked to Robert Turbin about that, but do we got Keenan Reynolds?
We've got him. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Dragons wide receiver Keenan Reynolds is with us. Keenan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Give us a thought on what that was like out there. I mean, you were part of the Seahawks there for a bit, so you know what that's like. And then you play on that same field as a member of the Dragons. And, yeah, you don't have 68,000. You have almost 30,000, but it sounded almost as loud.
Yeah, it was electric out there. The crowd was going crazy. But we expected that. We already knew what was going to happen as soon as we heard about the ticket sales and how we were leading that league and how they were asking for more tickets. So, I mean, we kind of knew going into it exactly what it was going to be like. And the fans definitely didn't disappoint. And our thing was we wanted to win to give them a reason to keep coming back, keep supporting. And, you know, hopefully this week we have even more fans.
Well, I'll tell you what, Keenan, we were all there, all three of us, saw you with your 3 receptions for 87 yards, touchdown. It was really exciting football, and it just seems to me like the quality of football is really good. And, you know, I guess I'm not sure what I expected, but it seems like you guys have come together really quickly. Tell us about, you know, how much time have you actually put in when you guys all started working together? You started working with your quarterback. How far back does that go besides the 2 weeks of this season?
All the way back to December, the beginning of December, we've been working and grinding, getting in shape and learning the plays, coming together as a unit. You know, I feel like we still got a long way to go. I feel like we have a lot more as far as potential is concerned, that we can be a lot better and be a much better team. And, you know, that just is on us and our willingness to compete every day and work on the details. But it's been a grind for sure. And like you said, it's a lot of high quality football, high quality players. I mean, every week's a battle. Every week comes down to a couple of plays.
Hey, Keenan, when I made the jump from college to the NFL, the thing that tripped me out a bit was the ball seemed like it snuck up on me a little bit because there weren't those lines on it to kind of trace it. Playing in the XFL, you know, that ball looks different. It got some print on the tip of the ball. Does that make it easier to track, or is it just another day at work for you?
You know, I'd say it's easier than, you know, NFL ball because, you know, NFL ball is just, like you said, just a brown object coming at you, and you just got to be used to tracking it. It can get lost in the lights, get lost in the crowd. I mean, it's just, you never know. But, you know, definitely having the print on the ball, you kind of are able to spot it and track it from there. So I definitely think it gives the same benefit as like a college ball with a stripe on it, on the ends.
Is there some, and I know you've only played 2 games to this point, but is there something that you do in the XFL that you think you'd like to see in the NFL, whether it's the kickoffs, whether it's the pace of the game, the replays? Is there something you're dealing with now? You go, man, this would be great if they did this at the NFL level.
You know, I think the uniqueness of the XFL is what makes it such a special league. I think it's just how it is. So, like, the XFL has its thing and NFL has its thing. You know, because the changes really are, the biggest changes are, you know, the special teams are the more obvious ones. And there's some other things like only 1 foot for catch, 1 foot in bounds for catch, which I think the NFL rule should stay the NFL rule. One thing I think maybe they could adopt on the NFL side of things is the extra points system. I think something of having the ability to go for three, maybe not necessarily eliminating the field goal, but having the ability to go for three, I think will change the dynamic of a game, especially when you got a 9-point game. You know, you score from the, and you get an extra point from the 10-yard line, get in the zone. That's a tie ball game.
All right, Keenan, I've known your coach, Jim Zorn, for a long time. Just tell him Dave sent you, okay? And I want you to go to Jim, and I want to tell him that you want to put together a package where you're at quarterback. You scored 88 touchdowns at Navy. Nobody's scored more touchdowns than you in college football history. What do you think? Can you get behind me on this? Go and make the case for just kind of a, you know, kind of almost like a Lamar Jackson type of offense package, just to kind of mix it up. What do you think?
You know, I might see if I can put a bug in his ear and see where it goes from there.
All right. I'll work on my end, too. Okay.
The rest is top secret.
Okay. Well, it's just like you being in the Navy, because I remember we asked you that one time, what you do as far as your naval obligations. And I think you said, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you or something like that, but probably not. What? Tell us what about your obligations in the Navy.
Yeah, I'm in the reserves. And before I came to mini camp in December, I spent about 28 days active duty, working my job. So, you know, what I do, basically the reserve setup is once a month and 2 weeks active out of a year. I've already satisfied my active commitment. And since the work every month is on the weekend, mm-hmm. during the season, I have the ability to rearrange my drilling schedule to a time that would be better suited for me based on the season. So I usually clump them all together and do about 2 weeks worth of work to satisfy the requirements that I have to do.
And what kind of work are you doing again?
I'm a cryptologic warfare officer. And ever since I did my active training, I have a little more understanding. I can kind of give you a better explanation other than if I tell you I have to kill you. You know what I'm saying? So in the simplest unclassified terms I could think of, it basically, our job is we gather intelligence and information for the purposes of battle space awareness.
Gotcha.
Speaking of gathering information, you guys are able to hear the play call through your helmet. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Has that helped you as a football player? Because I would think if I can get the play sooner, I can diagnose what I'm supposed to do. I can look at the defense a different way. How has that helped your game as a receiver?
No doubt. That is huge, especially, like, it eliminates, you know, getting the huddle and the quarterback might say something like, did he say this or did he say that? Or, you know, he might misspoke or it might be too loud for you to hear. And it just eliminates that. It speeds the game up. And to be honest with you, here's a sleeper benefit, in my opinion. When you're tired at receiver, you got to run back to the huddle.
Yes.
You just run back to where you're supposed to line up because you already got the play in your head and you can catch a breath and already be lined up. So that's probably like a sleeper benefit that people don't really think about, but it's huge as a receiver.
No, I feel you. I was a receiver, run 50 yards down the field, 50 yards back, and I didn't get the rock, and I got to hear the play. So, yeah, I feel you.
Ran all that way for nothing.
This is why receivers are divas. At least Bumpus is here.
Speaking with Keenan Reynolds of your Seattle Dragons here with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle. Hey, what, again, acknowledging it's only been two games, but what's the defense been like for you to face? I mean, you did get a chance to go at the NFL level, understand what that was like going against your defense every day in practice, and now you're playing in this league, and some guys have NFL experience, some don't, but do you see a dramatic difference in it, or what kind of differences stand out to you?
I wouldn't say dramatic. There's definitely, obviously, a difference because, you know, think about everybody in the XFL, for the most part, is trying to find a way to get to that next level. But so I think everybody's playing hard. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's got that chip on their shoulder. And it's a physical game, you know. It's very physical across the board. Special teams, the new kickoff system is a physical unit. It's a physical, like, play. So it's definitely taxing from that standpoint. And so I think it prepares you for that level of physicality that you're going to get when you get to the next level if you get the opportunity.
So tell us what a work week is like, Keenan, in the XFL. Are you guys looking at film like right away? Is it the same sort of schedule as you have in the NFL as far as film study, meetings, all that stuff?
Yeah, no doubt. So what we usually do is after the game, we come in, we watch the film, we work out, you know, work the soreness out. And then 2 days after the game, we get the day off. You know, the good thing about our setup is our facilities, our meetings and stuff are all in the same building. So we stay at a hotel, and then bottom floor of the hotel is where we meet and whatnot. So you have access to all the film. Even on the off days, you don't have to get in the car to go in to watch film. So, you know, usually we watch film on an off day or whatever it is, treatment, come back. This week it was Tuesday, start practice, first day of practice. So the week is very similar, if not identical, to the NFL work week in the way that it's structured and the way that we break up our game plan and the way that we game plan for other teams.
No, with your military background and what you've been through, I would assume that you're just a natural leader. Do you feel like you're one of the leaders on this Dragons team?
Well, I do. I would hope so, too, because, you know, I was elected as a captain. And, you know, just obviously, like you said, the experience in the military, being an officer. And then I think I was raised that way. I think it's just kind of the value that my parents put in me. Growing up, and I was also a quarterback my whole life. So as a quarterback, you have to be a leader, whether you're a vocal guy. And I'm not really a big talker. I'm not super outgoing. But you have to find a way to find your role as a leader and step into it and be effective.
Hey, as far as your goals moving forward, you talked about this, everybody looking at this as a launching pad to the next level, and you've had a taste of the next level. Was it hard to adjust to this? I could see somebody, and I saw – you know, I was watching different games of, this guy was a first-round pick, this guy was a second-round pick, and I kept trying to put myself in their position, go, man, I'm wondering how disappointed they are, thinking, man, I'm not at the top level, I'm at this level. Is there any sort of frustration that goes along with this? Is it hard to be positive?
Well, you can't be negative, I'll say that much, because this is an opportunity, and everybody is watching. So if you come into it with the mindset of, oh, I shouldn't be here or whatever, some arrogant mindset that somebody could have, you won't be successful. This is high quality ball, and people are dependent on you. You know, you're playing in a league, you're playing on a team where you're being dependent upon to produce. And so you can't really go into it worried about what you think should have been or where you think you should be. You just have to prove the type of player you are, prove yourself right. If you feel like you're a high caliber player, then on every Saturday and Sunday you get a chance to play, that's your opportunity to prove it. And then if you do that enough times, the opportunity for you to be on a bigger stage is going to come.
You know, Ken, I always knew I liked you, right? But then I look deeper into who you are. December 13th, 1994, that's the date I was born. Sebastian was 85, so Sagittarius. Keep doing your thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge fan. I was a big fan before. Now I'm a huge fan.
That's all it takes. December, it's the same birthday.
Apparently people, December 13th, they're very special.
Yeah. Doesn't take much to win people over there. Yeah, I guess that's all it takes, a similar birthday. Hey,
I'm not complaining.
when you left, when you were released, do you ever, and I'm always curious how this goes, and I know it's unique for everybody, but do they ever say, you know what, man, if you could improve on this part of your game, or if you could just work on this, this is the difference between you being in the NFL and not being in the NFL. Is there anything specific that you're told, or is it just, hey, we're making a roster move and we're going with this guy over you?
It just depends. Honestly, sometimes you can get specific things that, you know, you can improve on. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's a business decision. Sometimes, you know, they go with the younger, the cheaper, depending on who you are. I think for me personally, it was just, you got to make more plays. I didn't make enough plays in the preseason. And the preseasons that I've played in the league. And honestly, if you make enough, you'll be on somebody's 53. And I didn't do that. And now that's why I'm not on somebody's 53, or I wasn't. So that's essentially my mindset is, well, how can you make more plays? Well, then you have to evaluate your entire game. How do you run routes? How do you get open? How do you catch the ball? Are you consistent in the run game? I mean, you have to be really critical about yourself. It's a hard pill to swallow because everybody wants to see themselves in a super positive light, that, you know, they don't do anything wrong, and, you know, you're overconfident. Maybe you have to really be, you know, have the humility to think about what it is you need to improve on, ask questions, and then have the willingness to learn.
All right, Keenan, I know that Bump will say the same thing as me. Maybe the thing I miss the most about football is the guys, being in the locker room. Do you have any stories about anybody? You got any wild characters down there? Who's a teammate of yours that stands out?
A teammate of mine that stands out? You know, Brandon Silvers is a character, man. I don't think I'll get to see it, but Brandon is a character. Definitely in the locker room, definitely when we're out and about. He's like the life of party for sure.
Okay. That's good to know.
Let me see. Yeah, you know, starting QB.
Yeah, because we interviewed him a week ago, and he, you know, did a very solid interview, didn't really give us too much one way or the other. Now we got dirt on him. Thank you, Keenan.
Yeah, he's the life of the party, man. He's a fun guy to be around, and definitely brings the energy. Let me see. Will Sutton. You know, maybe not people don't know about Will Sutton, but he's made a lot of plays for us. And he's definitely a very vocal guy, very vocal leader. And he's fun to be around as well. You know, I definitely give him life of the party vibes.
Who's the one that cursed on camera the first game?
Dylan Day.
I had no idea. Even know that was a thing. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
first game of the first game of the XFL, not just your first game, first whatever, and he gets on camera and curses. It was pretty interesting. By the way, do you like that aspect? Because it's interesting being at home and being an observer and seeing them go up to a guy that just had a bad moment, whether talking to a quarterback who threw a pick or a running back who fumbled, or they're not just looking for the guys who had a great play. They might come to you, Keenan, if you drop a ball or something and say, hey, what happened there? How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm not the hugest fan, but I will say this much. At the end of the day, you got to keep your composure, whether it's a good or a bad thing. And the one thing, whether you like it or not, that teaches you is you have to take a breath and find your balance and answer the question, not on emotion, but just answer the question. Even if you don't like what they're asking you, like, I know I just dropped the pass. I really don't have an excuse for you as far as what happened. I just dropped it, you know?
Yeah.
But to get hostile, to be, you know, this or that, to blame your teammates, point fingers, that's just, you know, you got to be bigger than that. You got to have more self-control than that. And you guys got to be a better teammate than that, because at the end of the day, after the game, you go back, you watch it, and then you see what you said, and you're like, wow, I can't believe I said that in the moment. So I think it just teaches you to have better control of your emotions. But for the instances in which the player doesn't, it makes for great entertainment for the viewer.
is that, and we'll let you go after this, but is that something in the beginning of the season that they say, listen, guys, you got to be ready for this no matter what the situation is in the game? Somebody's going to put a microphone in your face immediately on the sideline, and you need to conduct yourself this way. Or it's different than any other, you know, it's different than college, certainly different than the NFL. This is very unique. So is that something they just sort of drill, like, get ready, you have to do this?
You know, it was kind of something we didn't really know it was going to be like until as we got toward the end of training camp. So it wasn't like a huge, huge emphasis on like how you should act, but it was just making guys aware of, hey, listen, you're going to have a mic in your face probably, and you're going to have to do an interview. You may not like it, but it's just part of the league and what you have to do. And so you just have to be a professional. At the end of the day, that's what it all sums up to being, is being a professional and understanding how to carry yourself in all situations.
All right, one last thing, Keenan. Jaquan Gardner is listed in here as 5'7". There's no way. That's got to be in high heels, man.
you guys are brutal, man.
I love Jaquan Gardner. I love the little guys, man. I just admire that so much. And I was looking at him out on the field, and I'm like, that dude would be hard to tackle.
Oh, he definitely is.
Yeah.
And that's why he's one of our, you know, the guys that we count on offense, because of his ability.
Yep, that's my guy, man. I love that guy.
Rooting for the little
and
guy.
You are too, Keenan. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. Congrats on the game. Congrats on the win. Hopefully we're talking about two in a row after this weekend, so we really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
There you go. There's Keenan Reynolds of your Seattle Dragons.
What a kid. Yeah. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but man, I just so impressed by him. And I said we had a production meeting back in preseason a couple of years ago, and his mom came in, and it's like, wow, you must be really proud of your son because you know, going to Navy, and again, that, you know, they said it during the broadcast, and I had, that had been lost on me. The 88 touchdowns for that kid, Keenan Reynolds.
It's an element of the game they, of his game they could utilize, it would seem.
Well, I think they're going to put it in because, you know, I asked him. You know, I'll talk to Jim Zorn about it.
What do you think? If he walks up and just says, hey, Dave sent me, don't you think Jim's going to go, Dave who?
Yeah. That's number one. And then number two, next time I see Jim, he's like, hey, you know, why don't you just come to the games and enjoy it and just watch and be an observer?
Watch, I'll coach.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say, okay, Ring of Honor guy, Jim Zorn.
That'll teach him.
Jim is just such a great guy, and I loved listening to him coach. And nobody can talk about that better than Brock Heward, having him in that room. But, man, what a solid guy.
All right, good stuff from Keenan Reynolds. Coming up, apparently the Lions are shopping their cornerback, Darius Slay. Some say that's the best player on their team, so of course they're shopping him. Should the Seahawks see if they can get another steal from Detroit? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore this week. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. It was fun talking to Keenan Reynolds.
He's a nice kid, and it's pretty cool to hear, you know, about how he feels about this whole thing, because it really was kind of a mystery. It was almost like when they were in camp and everything. I know Mora was going over to practice and everything. I was like, is this thing really going to happen? And, you know, I was talking to somebody at the stadium. I was looking at the jerseys. First of all, their swag is really cool.
You love their shirts. You love all of
that. Yeah, and I'm usually not that into that.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I think the Seahawks have one of the cooler color combinations and everything in the NFL. But what's the one I like? I don't like the Patriots. Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee is pretty cool, but I mean, I'm usually not a jersey guy, but I like these things. And somebody was saying, you know, I asked a guy at the stadium, are you going to get a jersey or anything like that? He goes, I'm going to wait a year, see what happens.
Yeah, see if the league makes it. I mean, I don't blame somebody for that, not wanting to shell out a bunch of bucks for it. But quickly, before we're going to get into the conversation about Darius Slay, and I would ask both of you this. Would it be hard to have been in the NFL at any level, whether you were a starter, whether you were just, you know, had a taste here and there, but it feels like you'd be in this situation going, man, I'm in the minor leagues to an extent. Like, there, you know, it'd sort of be like, I guess, being sent down in baseball, perhaps. If you'd played in the show for a while, now you're just trying to fight your way back and you're in the minor leagues and you're not being treated the same way. It's not the same luxuries afforded to you. I'm wondering how hard it would be to have a good attitude about it and not be a little bitter, especially some of these guys. As I was saying, I was seeing names. I'm like, man, I recognize that name. And they'd say, yeah, he was a second round pick of, you know, Baltimore. This guy was a first round pick of blah, blah, blah in 2016. I'm like, dang, first round pick. And he's now playing in the XFL.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't drafted, but I was on the first team that practiced at VMAC, made it through that camp. I got cut during the season. Then I go up to Canada and play ball. So that's kind of like the minor league. And you go from this big facility, I don't know how big VMAC is, and I kid you not, you go to BC, at least back then in Surrey, facility was probably about 7,000 square feet. We're all jammed in there. The meeting rooms are small. There is no lunch provided. Like, all the things you took for granted. And at some point, I called my wife, and I'm like, do I want to do this? Like, how much are they paying me? And I'm here, and her being supportive tells you, just suck it up, get going. You know, but there is, I would have to imagine there's a moment. And I was a free agent, so imagine a first-round guy getting bumped down to this. So I'm sure there's a moment where you kind of contemplate and you think, do I really want to do this? But if you're fortunate enough to go to a team like the Dragons and you go out there and you see the support and you feel the love, then maybe they change your mind a bit. Once I played in the CFL, I was like, okay, this is real football. We can do this.
Yeah.
How do you think you would have handled that day?
Well, a different situation. I mean,
When you were at the end and you're saying guys were slamming doors in your face and you were trying to cling to that career and you if you had this opportunity and they said, yeah, we're bringing Dave Wyman on.
Yeah.
And well, you sign with a team and it's lesser than in all the luxuries, the money, everything. Been a tough pill to swallow, I would think.
I think it would have been. And the injuries probably were the thing that were the biggest factor for me. The other thing is I started in 8 of my 9 years. And so my last year in the league, I was the starter, and I was the starter in the last game that we played. And my last play in the NFL, I forced a fumble that won a game for us. So I just thought, there's no way I don't get a job. Or there's no way I don't at least get a chance. And I never even got a chance. So I was very bitter about that. But I don't know if I was bitter enough to go and maybe play. I certainly didn't, want to go to the CFL. I don't know. I always talk about how much I love football, and I certainly did, but I think I was kind of mad at it for a while.
Yeah.
So there's maybe 4 or 5 years there where I didn't pay much attention to it. I'll say this. The first year after I left, I felt so blessed when the Jaguars beat the Denver Broncos because they were the best team in football the year after I left, and then they lost in the first round of the the divisional playoffs, and I was like, whew, because that would have been a tough pill to swallow too. Yeah. But they went 2 years after that, and they won.
All right, let's get to what's going on in the NFL, and it appears that the Lions want to get rid of anybody that's making money or has any potential. So
anybody that's any good.
Yeah, it's a rough go if you're a Lions fan. It feels like they're in the middle of a teardown and a rebuild of some sort. But the idea that they're thinking of trading Darius Slay, and by all accounts, if he's not the best player overall on that team, he's one of them. They got rid of Quandre Diggs, and that was really poorly received by all accounts out there. I'm not sure what's behind this other than finances, but is that somebody that you look at as somebody that Seahawks should at least, explore? Just, hey, what are you asking? What would it take? Or do you feel like, no, you're set at cornerback, you like Trey Flowers' potential, you don't need it, it would be an expensive acquisition. So
what's he making?
He's 29. Let's see. He's set to make $10 million. He's 29, so he's set to make $10 million this coming in 2020.
Do they need that? Do they need a corner?
Well, that's what I'm asking, because on the surface, you go, yeah, Darius Slay, yeah, he's considered one of the best. Why wouldn't you want him here? And then you look, well, there is a price tag, certainly. Is it a need? Is it?
Yeah.
Because that would be one where you'd say, all right, you signed Slay, so you're not going to be able to do what you want to do on the line, mm-hmm, perhaps.
Yeah, that would be surprising to me, I guess, because we talk about with the Greg Olsen signing, and I think everybody's going to be disappointed until they get edge rushers in here, right? That's what everybody wants, so. But, they've always been about good corner play. So, and good corners are hard to find, Bump. I don't know about you. I mean, I think they're facing, like, the best athletes in the world. The NFL receivers, Julio Jones, those kinds of guys are freaks. I mean, so finding a corner that you can just kind of put him out there and forget about like you used to with Sherm, it's a valuable thing to have. And if he's that kind of guy, I would think Pete Carroll might find some value in that. I guess I think it would be surprising, though.
Yeah, I mean, 10 mil, he's 29 years old, he did go to a Pro Bowl, but I read this article, a reporter said, maybe you get 15 or 16 million per year, and he said that was too low. I don't know if he was joking or if he's serious. So, wait,
give me that number again.
15 or 16 million
a year.
A reporter suggested that's what he would get. He said that's too low.
Yikes.
I don't know how he said it, if he was joking or not, but he thinks highly of himself. So
he was talking to Earl Thomas, maybe.
Probably.
Earl thought he was worth 20.
He's going to try to get as much as he can. He's 29 years old. He knows what I got, about 4 good years, maybe, if I'm lucky. So it all depends on how they look at Trey Flowers. I think Trey Flowers has the potential to be a really good corner. And if they believe in him, you bring somebody in, but you don't bring in a veteran who's like legit threatening his job.
You bring in somebody like that, there is no competition.
Yeah,
he's your guy.
Yeah, you have to play him because you're paying him. So I just don't think you put that type of pressure on Trey Flowers. I think you bring somebody in, but at 10 mil, maybe plus, I'm just not so sure you're bringing Slay in.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that would be a misallocation of your assets.
As appealing as it seems, and I haven't watched a ton of Lions games. I'm not going to pretend that I've isolated him, and man, he's a this, that, or the other. I'll just take everybody's word for it, and he seems to be the guy everybody pumps him up to be. I'd love to have him in a Seahawks uniform. I certainly wouldn't say what a dumb move, but it would seem to fly in the face of what their true priorities are. And I guess it really comes down to how they feel about Flowers.
Yep.
Because you feel pretty set with Shaq. Even though he doesn't have the interceptions, you feel really good about the season he bounced back with. Flowers had a really promising rookie season and took a step back a bit last year, even though Dave, I know, sticks up for the season. Feels like recency bias, right? We're just reflecting on what happened in the playoffs.
Trey Flowers will get better if the D-line gets better. You look at the 49ers secondary, they're okay. They're not great, but that defensive line makes them look really good because the quarterback doesn't have time to get the football off. So how do you help Trey Flowers? You stick in there with him, you develop him a bit, and you get him a D-line to help him out so he doesn't have to cover for 4 to 5 seconds.
Yeah. As a receiver, if you've got 5-6 seconds out there,
it's impossible.
You're going to win.
No, it's impossible to guard me, Bob. It's hard to guard me with 3 seconds. Give me 5 or 6.
Wait, are you guys playing basketball? Because he's saying guarding. I'm not sure what that means.
That's Dave's pet peeve. He doesn't like covering.
What's that cover? I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah. Cover.
Would you say it's coverage, not guardage?
Yeah, they're not called guardages. It's guardage 2, guardage 3, guardage 1. You guard people in basketball. It's one of my many pet peeves.
Well, we'll see. Maybe they pull off a surprise that none of us expect and it works out. But I would be stunned if they made that move. As much as there are question marks about Trey Flowers, I get it. But to make that move and that investment, I agree with Bump, and I think you've said the same thing. Get the pass rush.
I don't know about Flowers, but, you know, do they have a ton of depth there? I mean, obviously you're not going to sign this guy for depth, but if they sign him. And
Flowers would become your depth.
Yeah. If they sign him and pay him $10 million and Pete and John go, oh, my gosh, we've had our eye on this guy for forever. You know, not many people know what Darius Slay is all about. We didn't know what Quandre Diggs was about either.
No.
And
no.
When Schneider signed him, I'm like, well, what's Fair he doing?
Point.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe they bring him in. If Pete's out there selling him, I'd be like, all right, man, I'm on board.
Yep. All right, coming up, hey, Rob Manfred held a press conference. What he did is he did that to clarify comments he made that upset people at his previous press conference. It's going really well for him. We're going to talk about that next with Bob David Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob David Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Is this in honor of baseball and Rob Manfred under pressure?
He's not handling it.
What's that?
He's not handling the pressure very well.
He's not handling it well at all. Baseball, and more specifically Rob Manfred, the commish, couldn't have handled this worse. This whole Astros fiasco, the players haven't handled it well. The owner of the Astros handled it really poorly. And then Rob Manfred, you know, he was being asked about the world, you know, vacating the World Series and should you strip him of the title. And he made reference to the trophy and called it a piece of metal. Which got everybody upset. Players, I mean, hey, man, it's called the commissioner's trophy, by the way, commish. So it got to a point where there was enough backlash for him to address it with another press conference, and here's a bit of what he said.
You know, I had a long day on Sunday. I think I did 45 minutes on camera, and then I did a press conference. I have to say I made one mistake, at least, during that long day. And that was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
You know what? Apparently there is an excuse for it because he started off by giving an excuse.
Oh, 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Yeah. He did 45 minutes in front of a camera and then a press conference. I don't know what you could expect from the man after that. I would be blurry too.
And then
what's he talking about?
It made it sound like, and then I only made one mistake.
Yeah.
And then he says, at least. Yeah.
I mean, listen, Rob Manfred's a guy that I think's done a decent job up to this point. I haven't had any real complaints that I can remember with the way he's handled.
Oh, up until this whole controversy?
Up until this whole controversy. Yeah. But that's when you see what guys are made of. We talked to Coach Hopkins about this. Remember before the skid got really ugly for the Dogs, where it's at now, we talked about, hey, this is, if there's a silver lining to this, you get to see what your players are made of, right? That's where character comes out when the chips are down, when things are bad. It's easy to be a front runner. And, you know, this is a well-oiled machine for the most part, making a bunch of money and all this. He hasn't had to do much. Now he's had to deal with a big-time controversy that challenges the integrity of the game, and he couldn't have tripped up more. I mean, from the immunity granted to the players to the way he didn't put a gag order on anybody, so this is going to just trickle out every time there's a microphone in a clubhouse, whether it's spring training or in the season when they're playing the Astros. This isn't going away. And for him to come out and say, yeah, it's a hunk of metal and blah, 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 to be that tone deaf and then feel to get so much backlash, he then has to address it and still sounds like he's qualifying it. He did apologize. I don't think he's a bad guy. He did make a mistake, but it still sounds like he was making a bit of an excuse for why he said it instead of just saying, I don't know why I said that. It was dumb. I don't have an excuse. I hope people understand it was not meant with any ill will. I know what the trophy means. Obviously, it's a commissioner's trophy. I couldn't apologize more and just left it there. But it was, oh, I did 45 minutes on camera. Then I had to do a press conference. So,
oh, woe is me. Excuses are easy. You know, what's hard is just standing up in front of a crowd of people and saying, yeah, I messed it up. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. It was how we started it. You know, I made at least one mistake and I did 45 minutes in front of a camera. You're the commissioner of the MLB. I'm pretty sure you've had meetings that last hours before. You have to be attentive and you're leading the meeting and you're receptive to people's comments and critiques and stuff. That's just a cop out, man. And it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. The longer this thing goes on, it gets worse and worse. Something has to be done. I don't know what it is. I hope for baseball that this thing goes away, but it's never going to go away. This thing's going to last forever. The Astros are going to be looked at a certain way forever. It is what it is. So I think the best move at this point is just to admit fault and keep saying you're sorry. Just keep saying you're sorry. I messed it up. Keep saying you're sorry until people are tired of hearing you say sorry, and then they might leave you alone for a little bit.
Yeah, this is like piling on. So it's not that bad, like if it was just isolated. Where he's like, yeah, well, I did 45 minutes of blah, blah, blah. But it's just the way that they've handled the whole thing, from the Houston owner to the players.
There's
in
been
Houston
a defiance in there. It's not been the mea culpa, you know, in certain aspects.
Yeah.
There's been sort of the Altuve with the chip, and we're going to show everybody. And
but for him to even come out and try to qualify it in the beginning, too, kind of gives you like this, like, hey, get off my back type of feel.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre what they've done. I don't know. I feel like the NFL would have handled it much better. And, you know, I think it depends on who's at top. But I just, like, look at how the Seahawks handle information. They do a really good job with it. You know, they lock it down. And, you know, they decide what is going to be the message. And they plan for these kinds of things. And, you know, Dave Pearson, probably one of the best in the NFL at, like, not controlling information, but, you know, controlling the message of what we want to put out there. And they sit and talk about it, think about it. This is what we want to do here. It just seems like they didn't have any of those meetings.
No, it's scattershot. This person's saying one thing, this person's saying another. You got the commissioner blowing it. You got the owner of the team that's in trouble completely blowing it. And everybody's commenting on it. LeBron James, biggest star in maybe all of sports at this point, is being asked about it. Everybody's going to be asked about it. And he's weighing in on Twitter. He said, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be bleeping irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would/could do. He said, listen here, baseball commissioner, listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. And then he's got the longest hashtag in all of Twitter history. Just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless of my own sport I play. Which is a really long hashtag. But it's not going to stop with just him, right? Others are going to comment it because everybody's going to be asked about it. It's the biggest story in sports right now.
Yeah.
And it's for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and you got some random basketball player commenting on
it. Yeah, some guys. who? Yeah.
The fact that they're going to – he came out and said he's going to punish guys who throw at the Astros. But he's not going to punish the guys who actually cheated, which is crazy to me. I think you do punish the guys if it gets out of hand, but you don't come out and say it. You know, you just do it. You just handle it. This is so sloppy. It is really sloppy.
It is so poorly handled. It really is. And again, I don't have a personal thing with him. I don't think he's been a bad commissioner up to this point. But here you're seeing what he's made of in a really trying situation. And to me, if you're grading him, It's a big F.
Yeah.
A big F. All right, that does it for us today. I want to thank our guests, John Clayton and Keenan Reynolds, for joining us on the show. Great conversation with Keenan. If you missed any of that, check it out on the podcast page, 710sports.com. Just click the podcast button and then click on our lovely picture. Everything's waiting for you right there. Coming up next, you got Cougar basketball. Cougs set to take on Cal. It's all happening right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We're going to be back tomorrow. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.